Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
It's old Shazia's here. I hope y'all doing well out there. Happy Saturday to you, whatever it is, time, day or night at your side of the planet. I put a lot of videos up in video links up into the chat room over there at the shazizradio.com on the superchat.html and the Awake Radio chat, same page over there. And they start off with FM modulated and AM modulated videos, kind of a little brief explanation of how radio waves work and the terminology and such. And I was put a video or two in there about antennas, how antennas work, and I'm moving on down, you know, basically what is an antenna. I put some Wikipedia links in there for Tesla's radiant energy patent and for a crystal radio. So there's quite a wide range of stuff there if you care to go over and take a peek at some of that stuff right there and kind of get a general idea of what it is that I'm talking about. And basically all leading back to the Tesla's radiant energy patent. See, because when you talk about alternative energy and stuff like that, people are, you know, some folks out there, when you mention the word free energy, they're just like, oh, no, energy's not free. You got to do something to get it or whatever, you know. And so, you know, you catch a lot of grief trying to explain people that we're literally floating in the sea of energy. And just because you can't hear your favorite radio station or your cell phone's out of range of a tower, you would assume that there is no energy around there. There's no radiation going on. But that's so far from the case, it's not even remotely funny. Whatever you want to call radiation or the terminology you want to use for it, essentially there's electromagnetic waves just bouncing all over the place. You can't go anywhere on this planet without having some sort of radiation. Basically, when we talk about radio waves or any kind of electromagnetic waves and all the different energies that we're talking about, we're all talking about the same thing. You know, when you send a signal on top of another signal, essentially you got one steady wave that is the carrier, and then you have another that you're intermittently disrupting that wave. And you're able to send information. That's how we do the radio transmission. That's how the acoustic wave is wirelessly coming from my mouth and basically going through a piezoelectric speaker, which in turn is, you know, the wave is being changed and modified and sent on out the computer and over to your side where you can actually hear what it is that I'm saying. It's kind of the process is reversed on the opposite side. So essentially, you're catching some waveforms that are coming out and it's changing from an acoustic wave to an electrical wave to an electromagnetic wave, and it's being sent out in some instances wirelessly across repeater systems. Now, you know, some waveforms, the initial source of it, you know, like a 50,000 watt radio station would send that energy out to, you know, a pretty good distance. And then you get the curvature of the earth that's going to make a difference in there, how far it's going to go out. And then you would have maybe buildings or mountains or hills or even trees or whatever. There's anything that would be in between you and that wave could disrupt that wave enough to where, you know, you're either getting an intermittent signal or you're getting no signal or a static going on. Because essentially what's happening is when that wave is going out, it's bouncing off of everything. It's bouncing off atmosphere, it's bouncing off of trees and walls and metal, and it's being absorbed here and there. Rainwater, you know, raindrops will basically shut down your satellite TV. You ever wondered why that is? You know, everything out there is energy, and if you could look inside, if there was a way that you could look outside and see through the air to the point where you can literally watch these waves as they travel, you'd see pretty much the same thing that you see when it's raining outside and there's a mud puddle or a water hole sitting there, or even looking at the side of a lake, you'd see a whole bunch of droplets hitting the water and the waves propagating out and basically, you know, interacting with each other. this wave bouncing off of that wave, and so on and so forth. So we're literally floating in a sea of all kinds of waves, waveforms. It happens with wind. You know, if you got a tree in front of your windmill that's blocking out that wind, it's pretty much the same thing that's happening with the radio wave. You know, water, anything could disrupt that wave to the extent. Well, that doesn't mean to say that each one of these can't be, you can't send waves through each one of these. Such as when the fish, like dolphins, are under the water, when they're sending sonar out, they're sending a sound wave that travels through the water that other dolphins can communicate with them and such. And so, yeah, through every single medium out there, you can actually send signals. You know, you can send signals through the dirt, you can send signals through the water, signals through the air, signals through space or whatever. So, all the way around you, continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there's some motion going on in every single direction. And when people think about, you know, doing wireless energy transmission, if you go out there and listen to most of them, they're trying to see how far they can actually get away from the transmitter and actually be able to receive it. Now, using a fluorescent bulb and a specific frequency, you can energize that bulb from a pretty good distance away. But get too much farther away, and the wavelength starts to slow down. It's not at the same frequency that it was. Why is that? Because as that wave is coming off of that transmitter, it's being interfered by whatever's in the room, whatever's in the atmosphere. There's so many different factors, and the actual input strength of the antenna, or, well, yeah, that's exactly what it is, an antenna. You know, there's many different types of antennas out there. I suggest you go out and research all the differences between them. It's a really good thing to know about AM radio, which is amplitude modulated, or FM radio, which is frequency modulated. And the terminology such as modulation and oscillation and stuff like that to see what it is that is actually occurring. And so if you pay really close attention to an antenna and its actual purpose, you'll find out that just about anything out there, pretty much everything out there, can be an antenna. You know, you hear me talk about all the time how aluminum is a really good conductor of radiant energy, and it is. For whatever purpose, on the microscopic scale, that aluminum is such a good antenna. Think back, if you're, you know, my age, think back to the day whenever you used to have the old rabbit ear antennas, and we were broadcasting on analog signal, and you used to not be able to get a really good signal. But if you took a piece of aluminum foil and you wrapped it around the antenna, and basically you could get your signal in better. A lot of times you were having problems where you always had to get there and adjust the rabbit ears on there, and, you know, that stuff, so that you can get a better signal. But if you just get it in that right little sweet spot, it just seems to pick up the deal. And as long as nobody breathes in the room, then you can sit there and watch your favorite TV show. Because any kind of disruption in that room is literally sending waves out that's interfering with that. And so, to get past all this interruption, such as the static on your AM radio, they basically boosted the signal up using FM, frequency modulated, where essentially you could send out just a little bit better signal, cleaner signal, and not have all the disruptions that you would get, you know, using the AM or the analog system. And so, you didn't have to put that aluminum foil on your TV anymore, because it was getting a better signal. And they, you know, finally went to digital signals. And all of these different things that we're talking about right here, you know, they sound really super high tech because of the terminology, but what it all boils down to, its simplicity, is that there's a wave that's actually being transmitted out, radiated out. You know, when we talk about radiation, you know, the first thing people think about is nuclear radiation. Oh, we're all going to die. Well, we're surrounded in radiation. There's all kinds of radiation out there. Some wavelengths are not good for us, and some are good for us. And so, you know, it's about learning the differences between the two. You know, RF signals at certain intensities could, you know, really interfere with things. And, you know, there's a difference on how far, you know, like a low-frequency wave would travel farther than a high-frequency wave in some incidences, and could be possibly vice versa, the opposite way in other incidences. So, what's all this mean, man? You know, if you know that just about every single thing out there can be used as an antenna, what good is that? You know, I also put a link down in there for the old crystal radio and how it actually functioned. And if you look at the crystal radio and you look at Tesla's radiant energy patent, you know, you'll start seeing something going on there. You know, radiant energy, you know, to be able to collect that radiant energy, essentially, you know, to some extent, a solar panel is collecting up radiant energy. It's more or less using energy waves from photons and such to energize some chemicals and get it to go and whatever. But even when an antenna is not being energized, because believe it or not, there are two separate, well, actually multiple different types of antennas, but the two basic is one's a receive-only antenna, and one is a receive and transmit antenna. They both have their own general purpose, you know, why you don't need an antenna that can both receive and transmit if you're just wanting to listen into your favorite radio station. However, even in that terminology is a misnomer, because any antenna can be used as a transmitting antenna. You know, all you're doing is sending radiation up one way or bringing it down to the opposite direction. There's a guy out there, Gerald Morin, I think is his name. We've talked about him a couple times on this show, that talks about energy, electricity is radiation. And he's right. You know, there's when you talk about 60 hertz, what are you talking about? You're talking about a wave. All these antennas that are out there, even when there's no power going to this when you're not using it to transmit, when it's just sitting there, when there's no signal being received, it's still picking up energy from that deal. You know, it's picking up waves from the air, it's picking up static energy, it's there's radiation all over the place. Now, to be able to tune into your favorite radio station, now you got to be able to bring that signal down and then amplify that signal. See, there's where the line changes from free energy off to you need something to amplify that signal. But what if you're not trying to amplify that signal? What if all you're trying to do is capture that signal and use that signal to basically charge up a capacitor, or, you know, basically charge up a storage system? Now, you got one specific style of antenna, you can pick up that specific frequency. If you have multiple antennas, you can pick up those frequencies as well. What would radiate one that you could listen to would not radiate the other. They're still both going to pick up some of that energy, but because of the type of material or the design that it is, it won't pick up every single frequency out there. And so, you won't be able to hear your favorite radio station with the wrong antenna. Ask the CBers back in the old days, the Citizens Band radio guys, you know, about SWRs and the meters that they used to test to tune it in just right. If you didn't tune it in just right, you couldn't transmit out very far and you couldn't pick up very far. And so if you had that, found that sweet spot in that antenna, boy, you could really get out there. And there are certain times of the day that they, there's this deal that they called skip, where literally, because of the way the ionosphere is at certain times of night, because during the day when the sun's out, it's stretching the ionosphere and the magnetosphere around, and so it could be further out during the daytime and closer in at night. So in the daytime, you can only transmit so far, but at night, you could transmit even farther because the opposite effect is it's closer this time around. And so they use this to be able to talk from the United States clear down to Mexico, or sometimes even farther depending on the system that you got. So these waves and the environment that they're traveling in will affect how powerful the waves are or whatever. But regardless of all that, every wave, for every action, is an equal and opposite reaction. So two waves bump into each other, you know, they're going to go into the opposite directions of each other. They're going to bounce off of each other, and all these waves after continuously bouncing off of each other, and waves coming in from FM frequencies, AM frequencies, radio waves coming from space, and just everything out there that's going on, there's energy just floating all over the place. So essentially, there's a whole vast amount of frequency ranges out there that aren't even recognized or tapped into, or most, for the most part, are considered to be annoying. You know, when you're trying to watch your favorite radio TV station or listen to your favorite radio station, it's nothing worse than getting static going on. I know that a lot of you been out there in your car and you're driving along, you listen to your favorite tune, you pull up to a stoplight and you're sitting underneath a power line and you're hoping the light will turn green so your music will come back on good. Or if you pull next to a metal building, then suddenly the radio station isn't being picked up. That's because there's things out there called line of sight. You know that if the antennas are focused in on each other, you got line of sight. Or sometimes the antenna's bouncing off of this or bouncing off of that. Regardless, that energy's still out there. It hasn't changed. The energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Another one of their laws of physics. So, with that said, just because it gets weaker the farther you get out doesn't mean that it isn't still there. It's just the frequency has slowed down because of the disruptions in between the atmosphere. Every factor that comes in there's to be calculated in for the strength of it and the clarity that you're going to get, the cleanness of that deal. So we're literally floating around in a sea of trash radiation. So what if, hypothetically, what if you take and build a system that will pick up every frequency out there, every form of radiation, no matter how weak it is? You know, we could be talking about something as simple as building an antenna the size of a microscopic hair all the way up to one that, is 10, 15 feet thick, or whatever. But due to the mass of the metal or the shape of the metal, different shapes are known to be better for picking up radio frequencies and such. But if you designed a system that you could literally pick up every single frequency that you could possibly imagine, it'd probably be a pretty doggone big device that you'd make. But regardless, all these antennas would now be radiated. And so that energy now could be tapped into. And instead of trying to amplify it, and all you wanted to do from that point on is actually store that energy, how'd you go about that? There's a lot of radiant energy people, researchers out there. If you look at how the crystal radio works and how energy travels and such, and some of the wireless energy circuits, if you look at some of the circuits, that's actually, I did a few videos out there, wireless energy charging systems. You can see that whenever I have the Tesla coil going, then that energy, the radiation that's coming off of that Tesla coil, is being picked up by another coil, which in turn is charging up a capacitor and lighting up an LED. So there is absolutely no input going on in these wireless energy circuits, yet they're still picking up that energy. And so, with that said, if I'm near a strong source, the light bulb is really bright. The farther I get away, it's really weak. But what if I had a system in which, instead of the gauge of wire that I used for the specific circuits that I used a microscopic fine hair of coil wire on there. And then maybe just a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger until eventually now I'm covering a wide range from the weakest signal all the way up to the strongest signal. So no matter where I'm at, you know, the energy waves that are coming in from space, the wind, the water, everything that happens out there produces a wave. You know, I'm sending energy out of my mouth. It's a combination of air and vocal cords and vibrational frequencies that's coming out of my mouth, traveling across wirelessly across the room to the microphone. It's vibrating a piezoelectric crystal, which in turn is sending energy down a long wire. And that goes down into the USB port of my computer, which in turn takes that and amplifies it up a little bit and sends it out the back of the computer down the network and down through the phone line, which then goes out and goes to multiple different servers and goes off a few repeaters and so on and so forth, and potentially a bunch of satellites. So all that started off from me just opening my mouth and start talking, all right? And I sent that acoustic wave out of my mouth down through all that entire system, and when it gets to the other side, you can hear it. It's put right back into a usable, recognizable message that you can understand. So, without thinking that you're going to sit there and wind a few coils and run your entire house off of it or whatever it is, doing the over unity or anything like that, what we've learned to do since way back in the 1800s and probably a little bit before that, was we learned how to tap out a signal wirelessly and send it to somebody else who could in turn recognize those dots and dashes on the opposite side and give somebody a message. It's just gotten a little bit more advanced. Now we can type out a whole lot more than dots and dashes. We can literally send pictures. And for every keystroke that we make is, it goes to a number or an ASCII code or whatever is the programming that inside that computer that's telling certain circuits to kick on and kick off, and it's sending out a wave. So my voice has been replicated, digitized, changed multiple times, sent down multiple different networks of wiring through routers and servers and, like I said, repeaters out there and potentially satellites. It's all energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So, you know, can you hear me talk from your house if I don't have this infrastructure in between us? If I'm not able to yell loud enough for you to be able to hear me on the other side of the world, then can you hear me? Well, with your ears, no. You can't, because your receiver is just not powerful enough. But if you have a way by which that you can pick up that energy and amplify it, yeah, you could hear the entire world. You could hear everybody talking at once. It'd be jumbled. It'd be like that static on the AM radio, drive you insane. But regardless, the energy waves are out there affecting each other, and the stronger wave usually wins out. So the loud mouth in the room is heard, whereas the humble silent man, they don't hear him as well. Maybe nobody ever even knows what he said. Might have been the most profound. He might have been telling them the secrets of the universe, but nobody heard him. But does it mean that energy wave isn't still there? No, it's all out there. We just got to learn how to tap into it, you know. And while a lot of people out there have fears of radio frequencies and such, and, you know, when you're standing next to a wave, and such as a radio tower or whatever, there's a lot of microwave radiation going on, a lot of RF going on. And, yeah, it can literally be dangerous. But, all that energy out there, if it has the capability of affecting your brain and your body and everything like that, has the capability of moving something around, doing some work. So Tesla's radiant energy patent is a really simple patent. You just look at it. It's an antenna. And there are tons and tons of antennas out there. Antennas pick up radiation. Any radiation wave that comes through there, it will interact with that specific metal, the electrons and the protons and the neutrons inside that metal. In some form or fashion, will interact with that. And so, it's picking up. When we talk about wireless energy transfer as far as Tesla technology, and they talk about resonance, you know, resonance isn't nothing different than having a receiver that is in tune with the transmitter. That's it. It's high-tech terminology, and it's baffling to most, but it's as simple as that. You got an antenna that will pick up a certain frequency range, and then you can transmit off of another one, and wherever that antenna's at, that specific antenna, somebody will be able to hear your message. It's pretty cool stuff when you think about it. But all the way out there, throughout the entire world, like I said, there are radio waves continuously going on. Radiations all around us. I think about all this radioactive waste all over, you know, what's going on over Fukushima and all the different places where they have radioactive material leaking out. And I have to ask myself, Could there really seriously be that many stupid people in the world that, you know, for example, here we are, it's the year 2015, and we're still boiling water to make steam so that we can turn turbines? What's the point in all that? You got to know, if you know anything about science and you know anything about physics, there's only so far that you can boil water, you know? When you boil water and it turns to steam, it starts to expand, which inside a closed container will pressurize. So if you overboil the water and you overpressurize, and your pipes will only handle up to whether it be 650 psi or 1250 psi for, you know, standard boilers that I knew about back in the 80s, then anything over that pressure, it's like you blowing up that kid's balloon, and then you went just a hair too far, one breath too much, and pow! Now you got a crying kid in front of you because you just blew up his balloon. So I hope you got an extra supply of balloons. But regardless, we take some natural radioactive material from the Earth, and then we turn around, we highly refine it. We get the best particle out there, the actual radioactive particle out there, and then we cram them all together into one rod. And then we turn around, now we got a super radioactive rod. Now we take this super hot radioactive rod and we put it down inside of water, and the water is begins to boil. The energy being released from that super hot radioactive rod is acting like a microwave oven, and it's heating that water up, and it'll keep heating the water up, and it'll keep on heating the water up, and it'll keep on heating the water up even longer, and it's still going to keep on heating up the water. So now you have the task of trying to disperse some of that heat and get rid of it. So you design into your system a cooling system. Well, you do want to get the steam going. You don't want it to get too hot. So now you got to have some sort of situation where you can cool this back down. And condensers. And be able to reuse that now radioactive water to continue to go around and make more steam. So now what do you got? You got a source of free energy, essentially. As long as you can keep the doggone thing from blowing up. But the moment something goes wrong and the cooling system fails and the heat rises too much, you're either going to burn a hole in something or you're going to overpressurize it and blow a seal out of something, and now you got radioactive water flying all over the place. So, why is that bad? Well, because that water's pretty doggone hot. It's pretty doggone radioactive right at this point. It hasn't had a chance for it to cool down or disperse. Well, instead of doing all of that, knowing all we know about antennas, knowing all we know about Tesla's radiant energy patent, why couldn't, instead of them refining this stuff into a super hot, dangerous stick of dynamite, why couldn't they have just used the knowledge that we already knew about pretty much anything out there being an antenna, including you? Your body's three quarters water. And so within your body, you know, there you go. All you got to do is be around a microwave and you start getting a little bit of problems going on. There's salt inside your body. There's conductive materials. Your body is an electrically charged piece of machinery. It's amazing. It's it's mind-boggling how the body works, sending signals from point A to point B. And all those signals are traveling the same way that all the other signals out there are traveling. You know, there's a deal out there where people talk about grounding, where you actually go out there and you become one with Earth, walking around barefoot in the grass, and you feel that energy that nature gives you. You know, there's good energy out there. And there's bad energy. If it hurts, chances are it's not good. So, you know, what am I babbling on about? If you took that same radioactive uranium or whatever material that radioactive material is deteriorating, it's releasing energy. And while it's releasing energy in forms of waves. How far do those waves actually travel out? Well, does it really matter if you could actually surround an entire coil of wire by a radioactive material that it's basically sitting there radiating energy into this coil that you are then in turn using as electricity to charge something? So those are the questions. You know, every form of energy out there can be detected if you have the right receiver, the right antenna. So with Tesla's radiant energy patent being, you know, in my mind at the very least a really simple design that should have sparked off a whole lot of ingenuity, imagine expanding on that. Imagine taking Tesla's radiant energy patent past the simple of it. A lot of people out there, they trying to figure out ways to pick up wireless energy, and they're trying to figure out ways to, you know, like stretch a long wire out this way, you know, and stretch a long wire up in the air. And yeah, they get energy, and it's in the millivolt range. But their complaint is that it's not enough energy to do nothing. Or is it? You think about a piggy bank, and you throw that first penny in that piggy bank, and you know that the spending power that you have on that piggy bank at that point is one penny. You can't do nothing with a penny in today's modern society. The way the economy is, one penny don't carry you very far. And so you leave that piggy bank there, and every so often you throw another penny in there. Alright, well, now you got the spending power of two pennies. Alright, energy's being stored. The pennies are being stored. Same thing with filling up a pool. You know, you fill up the pool of water, and you got a full pool of water. But if you ain't got a full pool of water, you obviously can't go swimming yet. And so every drop that goes in that water is able to be stored, and every drop thereafter adds to the depth of the pool. The same thing can be applied to energy. The same thing can be applied to radiation and all the different waveforms out there, whether it be acoustic waves, sound waves, heat waves, or whatever you want. We're floating in a sea of energy. So you got a system out there, Tesla's, you duplicate Tesla's radiant energy patent to the letter. Alright, now you got some energy coming down there. Is it enough to run your house at this point? Probably not. But take that energy, store it, forget about it, just leave it there. Put you a spark gap out there, connected to a baby monitor so that you can hear when that spark gap discharges while you're in there, and amplify it up loud enough so that whenever it does discharge, that signal will transfer around and wake you up in the middle of the night, let you know that thing finally charged up. Hit the timer on the thing and see how long it actually takes for that thing to get charged up and discharge. Then you can do the math. Then you'll know how many of these things that you'd actually have to run whatever it is that you want to run. Because any energy stored is energy potential that can be used for physical work. Such as I keep saying that an 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your thumb right off your hand and potentially kill you. Depending on certain circumstances, you may get lucky and you may not. Regardless of all that, it's still energy potential, in the smallest capacitor to the largest capacitor. You know, batteries, no different. And knowing that you can send energy along with energy, energy waves can travel right alongside each other, not even interfering with each other. When they collide, they bounce off of each other. Using all that, all the basics that you know about energy storage, charging batteries, inverters, and so on and so forth. Now tell me that there is free energy in this world. We're surrounded by it. We use a brute force magnetic field right now to literally shake loose the electron. The microwave oven literally goes in there and attacks the water molecule, which is a dipole molecule and has a positive and negative side on there. And a microwave can literally go in there as it's flying through the water molecule, hitting peaks and valleys, north and south, north, south, north, south. It rocks that water molecule so incredibly fast that it creates friction, which in turn creates heat and cooks your food. And if left in there too long, would probably vaporize into steam and your food would end up catching on fire. That's pretty impressive. So if you have the capabilities of interacting on the molecule size of things, then why wouldn't you have the capabilities of interacting with an electron on its size? All you have to do is be able to get the one electron to interact with the next electron to get the current flow that you're looking for. So with that said, using Tesla's radiant energy patent, knowing a little bit about how antennas work, the different types of antennas, the high-tech terminology used, oscillation, modulation, frequency modulated, amplitude modulated, so on and so forth. Tell me why it is that somebody out there hadn't figured out that we're floating in a sea of energy, and with the right receiver, you can tap right into that energy. And if folks out there are worried about, getting sick from different types of radio frequencies, just think about if everybody out there is absorbing those radio frequencies before they ever even get to you, cleaning up the atmosphere, so to speak. So, where there's a will, there is definitely a way. You know, I've pretty much talked till I'm blue in the face about free energy, and I tell everybody about free energy, and you know, I get a big old rash about, oh, energy's not free, this is not, and you're never going to get out more than you put in, and all this kind of stuff like that. And I'm trying to tell them, look, have you been listening to what I've been trying to tell you? I ain't looking for over unity. I'm not looking for 0 point. All I'm saying is simply this. I'm not looking to get out more than I put in. I'm not looking to, you know, increase all that. All I'm looking to do is use what nature already provided and go along for the ride. Use it to get some work done. Such as you jump in a canoe on the river. You didn't do nothing to that river. All you did was use what nature already provided and you rode the river downstream. So what's the difference between that or a windmill or a hydroelectric plant or radiation coming from space and everything else around you? If you could picture yourself being in a like a big old cloud of bubbles, you know, there's bubbles flying around, they're interacting with each other, they're bouncing off of each other, some are sticking to each other, and some are popping and whatever, you know. You're literally floating in a sea of radiation. There's all kinds of forms of radiation. You know, it's just the intensity of it, the frequency range of it, whatever. It's all radiation. Everything around you is radiation. It's radiating from some source. It's coming over. It's either interfering or helping or hindering. And to learn how that actually works and the processes that you could use for medicine or communications or heating up, they talk about infrared heaters, which in my view, infrared heaters stink. But hey, to each his own. I don't mean they stink literally. Excuse me, they're just a terrible form of heating as far as I'm concerned, unless you like put a lot of power to it and don't never shut it off, because radiant energy just don't seem to last very long. Gets cold real fast after you turn that heater off. Excuse me, I got a tickle here going on. So, with all that said, tapping into what nature's already provided, using everything we figured out on how radio waves work, and that while that antenna's sitting there, it's still picking up radiation. It's still sitting there vibrating because somebody sent out a signal. And until you turn around and amplify that signal, so that you can turn it into an audio signal, you're not going to hear the carrier waves going on. But it's still there. Regardless of whether you tuned in or not, they're all still there. The strength of the signal is going to be determined on how far the antenna is away from you, or whether or not there's a tree in the way, or you're sitting in a metal building, or it's raining outside. The strength of that specific frequency is going to have a whole lot of factors on what you get out of it. But regardless of whether or not you can't hear that radio station anymore, that wave is still interacting with the atmosphere around it. And so that wave is sending out another wave. We always talk about the positive pebble in the pond. Throw the positive pebble in the pond and you will affect everything in the entire pond. Same thing. Ain't no difference. I throw one rock in the pond, I got one wave. I throw another rock in the pond, I got another wave. If I throw a fistful in there, I got multiple waves. And so if I got a receiver, it'll pick up the frequency of those waves. I've got potential energy. That's what Tesla's radiant energy patent was talking about. Being able to pick up radiation, radioactive, radio waves from everything. You know, just a simple of the wind blowing across the metal sheet. It's vibrating now. So there's energy going on inside there that is actually translated to acoustic energy. If you don't believe what I'm saying is, go out there and get your piece of sheet metal and flop it around back and forth. Get you an old saw and sit there and flex the saw, and you'll hear the different tones in there. And some people actually play saw like a musical instrument. You know, they'll bend it and hit it with a little deal. Doom, 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 doom. You know? And it's all energy. It's all potential energy. You're creating waves. You're interacting with the atmosphere. And somebody on the other side who has an ear can hear within a wide range of acoustic frequency ranges. They'll be able to hear it. Now, the poor old guy on the other end with the hearing aid with the battery that's getting weak inside of it, it can't hear it as well. But does that mean that energy wave is still not there? You can still see the guy doing it, so you're now catching energy optically through your eye. You're seeing it happen. You're not hearing it because your hearing aid battery's done. So, what if you had a system by which you could tap into that specific frequency and create a hearing aid that didn't even need a battery anymore? It was such a fine wire in there that it had to be done under a microscope. You built this tiny little antenna inside there that now would pick up any vibration or any acoustic wave. Does that sound kind of familiar, like the little hairs in your ears and such? So, if you look out there and you see nature, nature's a great teacher. Insects have antennas off their head. They can communicate with one another. Snakes use their tongue to smell. That's pretty interesting. So nature shows you that using a sonar wave, a dolphin could talk to another dolphin miles away under the water. Energy's traveling. Energy's being received. It's there. When the wind's blowing outside, it's affecting the leaves on the tree. It's affecting all kinds of stuff. So not only are you feeling that nice cool breeze that's going on, but it's actually sitting there and disrupting the pool. It's kind of like you put one kid in the pool, you got some waves. You put two kids in the pool, you got even more waves. You put three or four kids in the pool, and now you got a ruckus. because they're slapping water on each other and they're splashing the water all over the place, and so that is interfering with everything to the point to annoyance to where now you're sitting there on your lawn chair trying to mind your own affairs and you get hit in the face with a bunch of water. That potential energy of them kids slopping around in that pool was transmitted all the way through the air and affected you, and it went from you being nice, warm, and cozy to now you're cold because the wind's blowing and you're getting chilly and need to go in the house and get a sweater. It's as simple as that, folks. If you want clean, free energy, get the free thinkers out there. Get them on the task of building antennas. Building antennas that are basically made of exotic metals that are really super sensitive to any magnetic field change or radiant energy being transmitted, any radiation, any of it. And don't just stop at one frequency range. Go for broke. You got one that's a fraction of an inch tall, and then you got one that's a little bit taller than that, one a little taller than that, and so on and so forth. And now you've got this wide variety of antennas that will pick up multiple ranges. And so now you can take that and you can store that potential energy, even if it only ends up being a penny in the piggy bank. Once that piggy bank's full, you know, if it took you a month to fill it up, then you put two of them out there. Now, when the first one's full, you got a month to go before the next one's full. When the next one's full, then by that time the other one's filling back up as well. You just got them sitting there. They're continuously storing energy. It's really simple. The atmospheric group's been pulling down 2,000 volts out of the air using the 200 foot poles and some copper wire or whatever with nano coated carbon on there, and they're pulling energy up out of the air. That's just one range out of an unlimited range of frequencies that are out there. So if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. It's as simple as that. If you can't find out a way to tap into nature, we figured out a way to build a boat that would change the deal were like as if you just jump in the water and you sink. Throw a rock in the water and it sinks. But if you build a boat, you can change enough factors in there to where now you can throw that rock in the boat, and not only does the boat float, but the rock's inside of it floating. Now you throw too big a rock in the boat, you're going to blow a hole in the bottom of the boat. And the boat's going to sink. Along with your wallet when you go out to buy you a new boat. Oh, man. To me, it's so incredibly simple that it hurts my brain. Now, there's all kinds of really cool technology out there. There are systems by which you can 3D print things. Robert Murray Smith's doing stuff with printable ink, you know, exotic materials, printable ink, finely nano layered particles and such. Research in that field right there would basically be where to go as far as trying to figure out how to make the smaller antennas. And on a larger scale, a copper tube is going to be one antenna. A galvanized tube is going to be another antenna. You take that same length of tube and you chop it down into multiple different lengths, and now you've got multiple different antennas that will pick up different size waves. So just in those two different types of metals, you've already created multiple different antennas. You got aluminum, you got steel, you got stainless steel, you got iron, you got all different types of exotic metals out there. All these different metals are antennas. Even wood itself is an antenna. Every single thing out there, including yourself, is an antenna. If you think I'm wrong, then get your voltmeter out and put your two fingers on there. Put that on the millivolts range, and you can watch. Simply pressing on it could raise the millivolts up. Breathing in and out raises the millivolts up on there. Just sitting there as your heart's beating, raising the millivolts up. And even to the extreme of just thinking, raises the millivolts up. Because there is a lot of energy going on in your body. You're not transmitting as strong as that radio tower is, but you are transmitting. And so with that said, if your body's doing it, and the metal's doing it, and everything else around you doing it, and everything out there is vibrating, and everything is made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons, and everything out there is pure energy. Hydrogen atoms, oxygen atoms, pure energy. Every single thing out there is made up of energy. Everything has a frequency to it. And so, every single frequency out there, including yourself, is potentially stored energy. It's amazing how you can be really calm, cool, collect, and you're fine until a certain point, but whenever your temperature level gets up there and your anger and your frustration gets, you become a ticking time bomb and you're ready to go out there and jack somebody's jaw doing the hop, chop, sop, flip, flop, kung fu-y on some person. That's a lot of potentially stored energy. That for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So I don't advocate you going out there jacking somebody's jaw because they're liable to poke you in the nose or jack your jaw right back. But if you look out there and you see the industries out there, these guys have figured out how to take piezoelectric crystals and a capacitor and an LED, put it in a shoe, and sell millions of shoes. All the kid has to do is walk around and charge up that capacitor, and you got a little blinky light behind him. There's potential energy in everything. So, take a look at the antennas. Take a look at the materials. Take a look at Tesla's radiant energy patent. Take a look at all the things that are going around you in nature. Take a look at the waves coming in and out of the water, the rivers flowing, the volcanic steam vents going off, heat, light. Light is heat, heat is light, vice versa. And man, there's just so much more. And then come back and tell me that there isn't no such thing as free energy. I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you. And we know that static energy can be stored in capacitors. We know about AC capacitors, DC capacitors. We know about the antennas. We know about coils and transmitters and receivers. And we know how to amplify. We know how to multiply. There's multiplying circuits out there. And you can't... it's really super simple to get high voltage just by changing a few factors in how you're actually gathering up this voltage. Whether it be a Windhurst, a Van de Graaff, a Lord Kelvin device, a Hawksby device. There's so many different ways out there to build up a massive static energy charge and then discharge that across. And so, with all that said, you tap into nature and allow nature to do work without interrupting nature, and you get all the free energy that you can use for the rest of your lifetime and never have to worry about polluting anything. You ain't got to worry about no nuclear power plant blowing up. You ain't got to worry about anything breaking down and polluting. All you got to do is tap into what nature's already given you. Working in harmony with nature. And people out there, come on. Those folks out there that say, oh, we can't put windmills up because they're an eyesore. Well, we can't put windmills up because they kill the birds, because the bird flies in there and gets chopped in half by the windmill blade. Well, a little bit of common sense dictates if you go out there and get you one of them high-performance shielded box fans that has a little grill on there so the kids don't stick their finger in the fan. Seems to me there ain't too many birds that's small enough to fly through that and get hit by that fan. So that one's out. And as far as the eyesore, paint it like a flower, you Fruit Loop. It drives me nuts. On one hand, we're going to holler about this type of energy, but on the other hand, we're going to holler about this one because it don't look pretty. Paint it like a tree and shut up. Drives me nuts, man. Don't go out there and protest save the trees with a wooden sign and a paper sign. It's counterproductive. Makes you look stupid. If you want to do something intelligent, then work in harmony with nature. I mean, if you got a protest and you don't want to harm nature, then write it in the dirt. Point everybody down. Look, man. Get you a chalkboard for Pete's sake. But then whenever you go to clear off that chalkboard, that poor individual with asthma is not going to like you too much. We got to get past all the so-called debunkers, so-called trolls, the people out there, the highly educated that want to, like, for whatever crazy reason, not think past a school book. Excuse me. Ugh. Anyway. Save the trees, just don't use the paper sign to do it. Write it in the dirt. Use one of those nifty little chalkboards that you can reuse over and over again, or an etch-a-sketch or something like that. I don't know. All I'm saying is the energy's there. If you want to save the planet, if you want to stop polluting with radiation and all the other byproducts that comes about, then let's be a little bit more careful in our labs. Let's be more careful in life, and let's start working with nature. And, once you get that down, you got it, right? So with that said, I'm going to take a break, and sorry about all the coughing and hacking and gacking. It's been a rough few days. But in the meantime, I'm sitting here looking for a tune. There you go. Alright everybody, you're listening to Mad Science, and so with that said, I'll take a quick break and see what's going on, and we'll take it from there. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Can you hear me? Give my creation fly!
Oh, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
in and give me no slack like a bully. Came in with a sack of Big Macs, we're throwing down and with the rock bulls at all time. In your mind, see, you gotta move it to your best ability. You gotta funk it up until the night you're down. And when you're funking up, be sure you pass it around. Come on, let's go to work. We got what'll make your body jerk. We can throw your hands up in the air, shake your booty and scream, oh yeah. Cause we are the jam on do and jamming on it is our do the do. We'll funk it up until you put it down. So come on, people, check out the sound.
Like a Dolomite. Time went by on this God creation. I knew someday I would rock the nation. So I made up my mind just what to do. And I joined with the Jam On production crew. So go crazy, go crazy. Don't let your body be lazy. I said don't stop the body rock till your eyesight starts to get hazy. Clean out your ears and you open your eye. If you wanna hear the music, just come alive. If you don't know how, get ready to learn. Cause Cosmo's taking his turn to burn.
Take a seat and no energy. Then you add M-O and a freak. Add a funky beat, and then what do you see? It's Cosmo D, yeah, baby, that's me. I've got the beat, but that's oh so sweet. Without me rocking, it's incomplete. So rock this, yo, rock that, yo. Rock on and don't you dare stop. You rock this, rock that, and that's a fact. Or the Jam On crew, or rock your body right, rock, rock the steam up the motor right off the track. And the whole wide world of funk attack to the beat, yo, get down. Let me rock it to the rhythm of the funky sound. From hill to hill, from Z to Z, and when Jam On's rocking, everybody screams. Jam on it, jam on and on it. And if you're feeling like you wanna dance all night, then go on ahead and blow it. Cause jamming on is what we do best. It's what separates us from the rest. And if you don't think our crew's there for real, let me tell you what happened to the Man of Steel.
Hey, Superman.
Bread. I can fly three times around the world without missing a beat. I socialize with X-ray eyes and ladies, this is sweet. You've learned the deal. Let me tell you why I'm so real. I'm Cosmo D from outer space. I can do rock for the human race. I do it right because I can't do it wrong. That's why the whole world is singing this song.
Jam on it.
I jam on it. I say jam on it. And stay to the night and night turns the day. Whatever time it is, I want to hear you say.
Jam on it.
I jam on it. I say jam on my mama, jam on it. Jam all around and upside down. I keep jamming to the Jam On production sound.
Jam on it.
Jam on it. Jam on it. I said jam on is the boogie beat that takes control. With the sure shot boogie that'll rock your soul.
Jam on it.
Jam on it. I said jam on it. Get out of your seat and jam to the beat. And don't you dare stop your early morning.
Jam on it.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Mad Science Show. I got my friend Steve on there. How you doing there, buddy?
How you doing?
Yeah, you was telling me it takes 6 cents to get it going, man. A nickel, a penny, and a potato.
Well, no, you need the penny to buy the nail with.
Oh, yeah. Well, then where are you going to get another penny so you can plug it in the potato with the nail?
Use a nickel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
That's what you said, 6 cents to get it going.
Yeah, okay. Well, 7 cents, and you'd have a penny to work with, too.
Well, that's over-engineering, because, as you know, what I told you about overthinking things.
And that's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of people out there in the alternative energy community. They try to overthink stuff. You know, I make a lot of people mad, especially my friend... Jim, he's like, oh, you just try to oversimplify things, and it just don't work like that, you know. And I'm like, well, why not? You know, I mean, you understood what I said, right? And yeah, I understood what you said, but it's not that simple. Yeah, there's math involved and this and that. I said, but it's working, and he gets all huffy and runs off. He don't like my over simplicity of the high tech terminology. My friend Jim, he's brilliant. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, particularly in IT, back when computers were kind of relatively new in the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of people that were incredibly intelligent, but they're also quite belligerent.
Yeah, that's all it had to happen a certain way, or else, man, you'd feel the wrath.
What they used to do was to overcomplicate everything, just to show how clever they were.
Yeah.
When it could have been relatively simple, but they made it complicated because they were smart.
Well, that's where I'm seeing a lot of problems. That's probably why I get cussed out so much on the Mad Science Channel. Because I'm trying to tell people in a simple way what somebody expects me to use high-tech terminology. oh, you don't know what you're talking about. This ain't how that works and this and that or whatever. And you're stupid and that kind of stuff.
Well, in fairness, is we sat there one day and you said the thingy goes in the gizmo and the other stuff does this. And I understood exactly what you meant.
Yeah, but the college-educated dude was like, what do you mean, what thingy, what's a thingy, and how's the gizmo? Well, that's what it sounds like when they're talking to me. You see what I'm saying? It's just the language skills that we're translating our information with. They're using high-tech terminology. I'm using low-tech terminology because I'm down here with the average Joe. I want to talk with the average Joe because the other guys give me a headache. You know what I mean?
Well, Shaziz, is there anything clever or smart about using a language, language base that nobody understands?
No.
Well, maybe some of these smart people aren't as smart as they'd like to think they are.
Yeah, the only thing smart about it is if they want to, like, speak, like, say, for instance, I don't speak French, you know, I don't speak Spanish, I don't speak Chinese. So, when they're talking around me, it's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like the teacher on the doggone, what's that show, Peanuts, Charlie Brown. The teacher going, wah, 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 wah. And that's all I hear. I don't, you know, I don't know the language, so I don't understand. Every time it's blooping up in there, I got to go at him in there. Can you add
this?
Yeah, let me see if I can add
Have you ever heard the phrase, it's all Dutch to me?
Yeah.
Well, someone said that to me recently, and they said, oh, well, I speak Dutch. Would you like me to translate for you?
Yeah, there you go. So that's what we need. We need a translator between us and the high-tech terminology guys. Because if we had the translator, then I could say the gizmo went into the doomahickey that was connected to the thingamajiggy on down the line, and that's what made it turn, see? And then they could, you know, throw the high-tech terminology out there to the, and they'll be like, Eureka, you're right.
Do you think we can get Google to do a special version of Google Translate for Nerd?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. How's it going, Thomas?
All right.
So,
Hey, don't jump.
You don't sound all right. Tired? Stayed up too late?
Yeah. Up 36 hours straight, 3 hours sleep, and then up again, so.
Cool. Well, we're live, so, welcome aboard.
Oh no! So I have to put my bubbly voice on or something. You don't want that.
No, we're just talking about. I started off talking about antennas and how they function and the differences of antennas and so on and so forth. Radiant energy, and then we got to talking about terminology, thingamajiggies and doohickeys and.
Whatchamacallits?
Yeah, whatchamacallits.
Did you bring up Smurfs?
Oh, no. Forgot about the Smurfs.
That's German for whatchamacallit.
I'm wondering why Smurfs are blue, man.
Got no idea. Maybe it's cold.
Yeah, it could be. A lot of those Smurfs that I see, they don't got a sweater on or nothing. All right, well, so let's get back to some mad science there. What do you know about antennas, Thomas? Do you know anything about antennas?
Very little. So I know frequency and size have a lot to do with relationship to each other, much probably the way the size and the vibration of materials like transducers affect each other. If the stuff's too thick or too big around, then it can't oscillate at some frequencies, but it can oscillate at others, stuff like that.
The way that it determines the way that the energy is propagated?
or absorbed.
Yeah, there you go.
We had this conversation not too long ago. That's what a transducer is it converts one form of energy into electricity, or electricity into some other form of energy. Whether it be a sound wave or some other mechanical motion or light or something.
Yeah. So we've basically learned how to take some energy and change it from this to that and send it on down the line, and then on the opposite side have the system reverse engineer the sound that just came through and put it out to an audible signal that can be understood on the other side. So we're pretty doggone good at manipulating frequencies.
Well, sure is. You know that antenna are quite common in the animal world as well.
Yeah, the bees have antennas and all kinds of insects have antennas.
Mm-hmm. Well, to do a bit of nerd speak, I mean, arthropods are commonly associated with antennas.
Cool.
In other words, insects.
Yeah.
From the Latin arthro joint and podos foot.
We need to get a nerd alert sound effect, Thomas. Nerd alert, nerd alert.
I got no idea what noise you would use for that, other than maybe Ogre's voice going, nerd.
I don't know if I'm a nerd or a geek. I may be a combination of both. Who knows?
I'd love to get the voice from Red Dwarf, the female artificial intelligence that used to fly Red Dwarf itself. The woman with the really boring, Holly.
Both of them were called Holly, both the guy and the girl, the woman.
That'd be kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Would Holly the dude please stand up?
You mean so-and-so's dead. So-and-so's dead, this other person's dead, that other person's dead, they're all dead, Dave.
Man. So anyway, what's the whole purpose of all this chat about different radio antennas and stuff like that? Well, Tesla's radiant energy patent... It was a basic design. It was an antenna. I mean, that's all it was. And Tesla coil, transmitter, receiver, antenna, both. You know, there are certain antennas out there that are made specifically just for receiving. And there are others out there that are made for dual purpose, such as transmitting and receiving. So, knowing a little bit about antennas and knowing how radiant energy is transferred, wireless energy, and so on and so forth, the way that the magnetic field fluctuates, the difference between amplitude modulated and frequency modulated, carrier waves, and much more. Now you know that you're sitting there floating in a sea of energy. Some of it.
And to that I say...
I like that.
It's the intro to Red Dwarf. Yeah, that's Red Dwarf, all right.
I like that. So, what do you think, say, what do you think the potential could be if you could literally design an antenna that was specifically made to pick up multiple frequencies, such as that Stephen Gibbons sent a link in there that I reposted into the Awake Radio chat room on WordPress there. And it's like multiple antennas all built into one system with capacitors in between each one of them. So what do you think the potential of picking up multiple frequencies and storing it are, Thomas? Or Steve, whoever has an idea? Man, Bueller, number nine.
Well, Tom, you jump first. I'm the nerd. No, I'm the least nerdy in the group, to be honest.
Children of the Sun, what?
You could print. You could even 3D print stuff like that. You know, you could print it with the ink like Robert Murray Smith did.
You're trying to bait me, aren't you?
Different layers.
We're talking about 3D printing.
different layers of nanoparticles and such. You could literally build a printable antenna that, you know, instead of having to try to wind copper wire. You use a 3D ink and print, you know, a little dot and then a little line.
That's actually what Robert Murray Smith was doing, was he was painting antennas.
That's what I'm talking about.
So are connecting a conductor and the basis of the capabilities of the conductor to determine how large, how wide, how long, all that kind of stuff.
It's antennas are. I know antennas are basically based on capacitance, and it's the arrangement determines the frequency that the capacitance is available at, or something like that. The only real hard hands-on I have with that is I built an FM transmitter. I don't know, like probably 20 years ago, and I sat down and did the calculations to build my antenna for that. That's about it. And I just found all that data to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and do that in some books, and then, you know, used it for that. Used it once, and then, and I don't know, what little I retained is about what I've just described. I'd have to go crack the books open again to find out what the actual calculations are to determine what I'm, you know, what I'm building.
Well, I'm thinking along the lines of this. You know, you crack the books open and find something cool, let me know. But if you take anything that is being radiated by anything else, you can actually interact with that radiation that's going on. Let's say the antenna's sitting there. You don't got your amplifier on, so you're not hearing your radio station, but that energy's still being radiated by that that deal. So what would stop you from, let's say, you know, putting some sort of tube around that antenna and a gas inside that tube and using that energy, say, like maybe for light?
There's nothing, as long as the energy source is potent enough to handle putting enough energy into it, it's nothing. But something that's kind of important here is that radiation isn't all you need to be able to use an antenna. You've got to have a frequency. There has to be an oscillation. So it means there has to be an on and an off going on.
Agreed, but there is on and offs going on up there. Like, let's say a planet over there, planet XYZ, blows up.
Right, right. No, that's not the point. The point is radiation is not oscillation. You need to separate the two.
Yeah.
A flame that's constantly on producing heat, or a heat element that's constantly producing heat, is radiating heat.
Yeah.
But it's a one-directional process. There is no back and forth. That's why almost everything that utilizes heat to produce power requires that there be another location in order for that heat to discharge into after passing through that device, so that you're collecting and utilizing that power the way you do DC current.
Yeah.
Like you run electricity through a wire and you make a magnetic field that you can pick things up with.
Understandable, but
you can't really couple with that.
The waves are oscillating as they're coming in. That's why, by definition, no, they're called waves.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, is that not everything is a wave. Not all energies are a wave. Is it what I'm saying? You understand?
Yeah, I got what you're saying, but if you got a metal antenna and it's flapping in the wind, isn't that adding to the oscillation?
That doesn't matter. What matters is you have to understand that you require the flapping to get the oscillation in order to get the energy.
Yeah,
Understand that property, then you're at a loss. That's like thinking that you can talk to a magnetic field to make it change its direction. Anybody who thinks that is going to be able to produce nothing, because you can't talk a magnetic field into doing something. You know?
No, but you could.
You have to understand the magnetic field in order to understand how to manipulate it. And the same thing applies to this. So if you're going to build an antenna to try to collect power, and you want to light something up, you need to make sure that the power you're attempting to tune to has a frequency, understand the frequency, and then set up to achieve that frequency.
Yep.
That absorption of that frequency without a loss. Because one of the things that I was talking to Justin and Kevin earlier about is that if you have a material that has a hysteresis time that's extremely long, your AC wave that you're using on that transformer has to be a very slow wave in order to give plenty of time for that magnetic field to be collapsed and reversed and still have plenty of wave left over to generate a push of power into that other coil. If you have a very low hysteresis, slow hysteresis reaction, and you have a really high frequency pulse, you're getting nothing on the other side. It'll cancel itself completely out.
So,
Tom, is hysteresis hysteresis in colonial?
What's that?
Is hysteresis hysteresis in colonial?
To describe what I'm trying to say, in order to give you a chance to look it up, is whenever you introduce a magnetic field to a piece of material, the amount of time after you remove the magnetic field for the magnetic field to collapse out of the material or to dissipate away is that what I'm describing. And if it's got a ferromagnetic property, then it may never completely collapse. You have to actually force it back out of it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to pick it up on the way in and use it like that.
So, well,
thanks for that, Tom, because I was kind of still working under the assumption that an antenna was an incredibly small version of Pavarotti.
A what?
An antenna.
Cricket noise.
Yeah. You thought it was like a relative or something, an aunt tenna?
Ah.
An antenna, like an uncle tenna?
You know the Pavarotti was a tenna.
Pavarotti. No, can't we all just get along for Pete's sake?
Did you say Pavarotti? Are you talking about the guy that was at the bar having a pint when the phone rang and went, "Oh crap, I forgot to feed the dog."
No, I was thinking more of the, what's his name? Who's the whale of soul? Oh God. I forget his name now. A whale? Anyway, is that
hey.
Well, they say that he wails, but he's, you know, thinking he's singing some soul blues or something? He's
Steve?
An incredibly large soul singer, but the Pavarotti is the operatic version. Ah, okay.
Didn't we talk about overcomplicating the deal right there earlier?
He's trying to produce plenty of material to develop that nerd translation circuit.
Well, I sent you a little clip from Holly for this. There's an emergency going on.
Just remember, you need to find that little tidbit that you know is the same all the time when you're trying to decode something. So, you know, if you're fighting Nazis, look for the Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
You know that where that's going to be all the time, then you know exactly how to break that code.
If
you're fighting Nazis, look for the Bloodthirst and the Brothels.
All right, well, the energy around us, I mean, we're going to have to decode it, I guess, but I'm not going to do it using high-tech terminology. I'm going to do it using junk. And so...
junk doesn't have a terminology. That's like saying that I'm going to move this piece of steel with terminology. So you're saying you're going to shout very complex words at a piece of steel and it's going to move?
Well, actually, that acoustic wave while I'm sitting here trying to make my eyes bug out while shouting at the top of my lungs will be radiating some energy onto that metal, you know.
But the machine you'd need to convert that into something that could actually move that piece of steel, say like a foot or two across the floor out of your way, is still going to require your effort and energy to build.
But I don't want to move the steel. I don't want to move the steel. All I want to do is pick up that vibration that just went through that piece of metal while I was yelling. And I want to throw a penny into the bucket, see? This is why people have a hard time contemplating on the potential energy of any kind of wave out there, is because they kind of look at it like this. If I throw a penny in the bucket, I used this example earlier. I got this jug, I'm collecting pennies in there. Obviously, I can't do a lot with pennies unless I do like Steve said and go out and buy a nail. But regardless.
I will say, this sounds an awful lot like what I was saying before. The easy way to say it is that the devices I'm working on would be like if the road was covered in pennies. And I went and got a street sweeper to collect them all up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not worried about the road being covered in pennies. What I'm worried about is this. Look, if I got a tree blowing over there and I got a wire connected to that tree, which is connected to a magnet, which is bouncing up and down in between a coil of wire, there's potential energy right there. All right, I can store.
And you're collecting...
Yeah, I can store
it. It's like
that.
Going out into a rainstorm and collecting one drop of water at a time.
That's only a penny.
That's why I'm saying let's build something that can collect all those drops of water.
Aha! Now we're on the same page.
So, here's a mad idea, guys, for mad science. What if we were to put in some sort of energy collection plate into, say, a football stadium of 100,000 capacity?
put everybody in nylon shirts and get them to do a Mexican wave.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, you said collection plate, and I thought you were talking about taking up a collection for energy down at the local church.
Yeah, but look, what he's talking about would be brilliant, because you could probably build up enough static charge to get a lightning bolt, shoot that across the field goal, which would be the spark gap, and dump it down into a capacitor bank, and now we're back to what I was talking about, storage of energy. See, whenever you got a large swimming pool, it may take you a year to fill that swimming pool up. But once you got that swimming pool filled up...
Here's the thing, if you're running back and forth between the faucet and the swimming pool with an eyedropper, yes, it's going to take a year to fill it up.
Now we're getting in the same thing I've been saying. All right, look. I said I got the wire dangling from the tree. The wind's blowing outside. It has a string with a magnet on it. It's going up and down between coils. That's collecting energy. The solar panel outside, that's collecting energy. Although it's not large enough to run my entire house, it's throwing more pennies into that bucket. And from there on in, I got a copper-coated rod and a zinc ground rod. That's going down in there. That's doing a galvanic action at the very least, a chemical action at the very best. And it's throwing pennies into the bucket. So I've got the creek down the deal. It's pumping some water down through there, which is turning the turbine, which is throwing even more energy into that storage tank. And so the more I add to the system that are basically using everything that nature does, including radio waves, radiation, frequency ranges from outer space, frequency ranges from the flexing of the Earth itself, capturing all these different ranges, funnel them down into my big swimming pool. Eventually my big swimming pool gets filled up, and so at that point I can start drawing off of that. And determining on the load that I'm going to be pulling off of that will tell me how long that swimming pool will actually last. You see what I'm saying? It's the difference between having...
So you want a rig that'll take 10 years to charge up and you'll get 2 hours to use it?
No. Well, even if it did. Even if it did. To however long it took to charge it up and on give me 2 hours, that was all free energy. I never had to do nothing to get it. All I did was put all the stuff out there and tap in. All right, but here's the deal. So if I add one battery to the battery that has, let's say, 24 cold cranking amps and 24 hours or whatever, I got this battery. And I know that it'll last for 24 hours under this particular load. So I do a little bit of math. Well, what happens if I add two of these batteries to it? So now I've doubled the time that I can run it on. So on and so forth. You see, you understand what I'm saying here?
What I see is that you've got a swimming pool somewhere there that you're going to build a giant capacitor inside of it.
Why not?
I'm glad I'm two states away from you. We got to spread that stuff out and make some room for, you know, degassing and all kinds of other stuff like that.
Well, degassing's only going to be if you got a chemical in the thing. And as far
Hold on. The definition of a chemical means that you're working with something that has atoms in it. So unless you're working with a swimming pool that has nothing but a vacuum inside of it, you have chemicals in it.
All right. Well, regardless, now I got one really powerful capacitor. That might put your eye out.
Might put a lot more than that out. If that thing goes off, you might put an eye in the sky out. You might not have any satellites overhead to get your TV for, you know, about a 50 or 100 mile range all directions.
All right, so we do know that is a lot of stored potential energy. All right,
provided you can fill it.
Oh, we can fill it.
You got to have the equipment to fill it.
Which means we get back to.
What are you going to do? Have 5 million kids so they can run back and forth to the tap with each one of them with an eyedropper running over there to drop some water in there? Or are we going to find another efficient means to funnel that energy into that water into that pool,
How about I leave that pool out there and let the rain fill it up?
Oh. Well, Tom, you're talking about Shazoo's swimming pool-sized capacitor. How do you think he does his air?
Yeah. Well, how are you going to explain that?
See, that's where you get that was hot air from. It's from a swimming pool-sized tank. That's why he keeps
his
hair
styled.
Hey!
Even if... Air, not hair.
Even if that's... Yeah. Hey, Thomas, According to your own words, even if that swim pool is empty, it still has electrons, atoms and stuff in there. It still has gas in there. It still has energy. There's atmosphere in there. So it's not empty.
Seal it up and build a big plasma reactor?
Aha!
Yeah, so, Tom, you can't trust NASA. They keep talking about space being a vacuum, and they spend an awesome amount of time making sure their spaceships don't crash into stuff.
Yeah. That's right. Now, why don't you use that vacuum to ship stuff the other direction or something? I don't know.
No, I think what he's saying is if it's a vacuum, what's there to run into? Yeah. We need a navigation system for keeping on from running into stuff. If it's a vacuum, I think the fact is though, it is a giant void with stuff in it that's really really hard to hit. So you're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at it as I'm trying to avoid the stuff. No, you need to look at it like a sniper. They're trying to hit that stuff.
All right. And well, have are you essentially saying that space sucks?
I think space is awesome. I'm going to go out into the galactic arm and start mining asteroids.
You said it was a vacuum.
I thought for a second there he was going to say he was going to go try to mine some pan-galactic gargle blasters.
Well, he might be able to find some gold. There might be an asteroid size of gold, a gold nugget the size of an asteroid out there floating around.
Then all he needs is a lemon wedge to wrap it with before he beats himself over the head with it to get drunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gold, platinum, palladium, diamonds, I don't care what it is. I'll have some.
How are you going to get that back here, though?
Do you think I'm going to bring it back here to this bunch of lunatics?
You know, so you know, that's a good way to get there. You might as well just keep going. Don't come back.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be some intergalactic trading station where there's civilized people. With pangalactic goggle blasters.
Yeah, intergalactic.
You're going to be really mad because you're going to forget how to get back here, and you're going to run across somebody that's willing to give you anything you want for all the stupid you can sell them.
Yeah.
You know, crap, I just left the mother load behind.
But what about intergalactic pirates?
I grew up in a council estate in England, so they ain't going to bother me.
Alright, cool. At least you can negotiate with them. So back to the plan. We got the big giant swimming pool. We're trickle charging it with everything under the sun, man. We're catching rainwater. We're catching radiant energy. We've even got gas in there, man. We've got atmosphere in there, all that kind of stuff. All of it's potential energy. And so everybody's been looking at this the wrong way, man. Yeah, I got to have this on demand. Well, you could get hydrogen on demand if you followed a few ideas that some other brilliant individuals out there were talking about. And so, with that said, it's plenty of it out there. You know, how are you going
to
put
it? It sounds like from listening to you, there's a lot. A lot has been said.
Yeah, a whole lot's been said. Look, Stan Myers was running
a whole lot's been said.
Stan Myers was running a dune buggy on water, all right? And he was essentially using a customized atomizer and radio waves to separate the hydrogen and oxygen on demand. If his ideas didn't work, the military wouldn't have been interested in it. Do you know that the United States Navy, by the time 2016, they put a document out there said that they would be running their ships on hydrogen? Now, how brilliant is that? You're driving on your fuel. You don't even have to fill up the tank. So what could you put in that
only place? Problem with that is that if that method that you have for turning that water into hydrogen can't be controlled by any other means other than limiting how much water comes into contact with it, and you're on that water, that'd be like driving around in a car in gasoline rain.
Well,
that's dangerous.
Yeah, you gotta go and find a negative and a positive. So you're not gonna like zap the doggone ocean with this giant death ray that's gonna separate the hydrogen and oxygen, otherwise you'd blow us off the map.
No, man, looking at some of the actions of our politicians since Nixon, I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, I wouldn't either. You know, hey, they got the CERN collider, and hey, how do we learn to do things? We get particles going at the speed of light and slam around and smash them into each other and see what happens.
Shaziz, what do you think they did with all the Nazi gold, and why do you think it's based in Switzerland?
because that's where the hydrogen collider's at. Hey, here's the deal. I saw a cartoon one time where I think it was like Daffy Duck or Bugs Bunny got a job working in a bomb Daffy factory.
Duck.
Yeah, okay. Got a little hammer and he's got to tap on each one to see whether it's a dud or not. That's our government, man.
That's like the Canadian mine detector, isn't it? You put your hands over your ears and a stamp on the floor.
Yeah, if it don't blow up, then it was a dud. All right, well, so that's the basic common sense that the elected officials out there got in the world. But what I'm trying to say to everybody is, I mean, if it's going on anyway, if the river's flowing and you can tap into that energy, why not use it? You got steam vents from volcanoes. You got thermal energy down underneath the crust. You know, the farther you get away from your feet down underneath the dirt, the warmer it gets, and so on and so forth. You can go down to a certain depth, and it's still cold, and actually colder than it is up at the top. So there's all kinds of cool stuff going on, man. You can tap into cold, you can tap into heat, you can tap into wind, you can tap into water, you can tap into radiant energy, and all you need is the proper receiver in order to use that energy. You know, like I said, the hot air coming out of my mouth is causing an acoustic wave to go vibrate a piezoelectric crystal, which in turn is going down a long wire that goes into my computer, and my computer changes the wavelength up, amplifies it a bit, sends it down through a router, and then out to the phone line, which goes over to a whole bunch of different servers, and then in some instances set off to a repeater where it's sent out even farther, and in some cases possibly even a satellite. So all of this energy that just came up out of my mouth is being spread up all over the freaking planet. So we know how to do it. We know how to receive it. And if you're not talking about trying to get out more than you put in, and if all you're talking about doing is tapping into what's already there, then you can do it. Man. That's what I'm trying to say.
I came across a YouTube video about 5 or 6 years ago that really started me on the mad science path. And it's something I'd never really considered before. But there was some old guy that stuck up a YouTube video, and he said, a thermometer is not a reading of temperature, it's a reading of energy.
There you go. What's happening inside there? See?
It's just something I never really thought about or considered, that heat is power.
And so you get a reaction just by touching the glass on there. The heat, the radiant heat off of your fingers is heating up the material inside that, which is causing it to rise. So,
well, and that I was going to say, that's the one thing that is the link between every form of energy you just mentioned.
Yep.
If you find a way to tap into and utilize the vibrational energy of material that's under load of being heated, You don't need to worry about when you're going to have potential or not, because until that material drops down to absolute zero, which doesn't even happen in deep space, you've got this humongous pool of energy to draw from at any time.
And the
Earth is a shot glass sitting in front of the giant. We're not even talking about a bottle. We're talking about a fire hydrant hose full of vodka being blasted into that shot glass. So obviously something's going to spill out, but it's always going to be full.
That's right.
Can't run out.
Now you're cooking with gas.
So yeah, let's put it this way. The devices that can drain this shot glass that exists on the Earth cannot drain the shot glass completely empty. Can't even begin to touch it. We'd have to build something that sits outside of the Earth to do that.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Look, I got a windmill going. Ain't windy outside, the solar panel's running. If it's not windy and it ain't warm, or the sunlight ain't out, then I got the piezoelectrics going. I got the earth battery going. I got the creek down the street, you know. I got the kids stomping on the floor. I got the doors opening and closing. I got the radiant energy patent, the Tesla's radiant energy patent set up out there hanging off the tree. I got all kinds of different antennas. I got doggone nanoparticles on a long wire that's stretched across some couple hundred foot poles, and I'm pulling energy out from all different directions. I haven't done any damage to nature whatsoever. All I've done is use what nature's already done and what already did.
Well, with all that equipment, you might be throwing a radio wave shadow there. So anybody that's on the opposite side of you from any radio station you're trying to pick up, they might not be getting that great of a signal.
Well, sorry about their luck. You know, hey.
Well, no, you're going to be treated the way you would be if you had a creek running through your property and you dammed it up and didn't let the people down the stream have any water. They're going to send the guys with the guns to come and knock down your door.
All right, well, all they got to do
now,
is...
You now made yourself present. They know you're there now, you know?
Oh, all right. So I'm going to have to be a little bit more user-friendly when it comes to my neighbors as far as my alternative energy gizmo. But either way, I'm still tapping into everything's out there. If I obviously wouldn't dam up the creek, that wouldn't be very nice because the folks downstream need some water. However,
so don't collect the energy that other people are using.
While that creek is running through anyway, I can have a little paddle down there that's turning the deal. And even if my creek runs dry most of the year, you know, hey... What time it is running, it's being used. You see what I'm saying? So
the question is, during the summer, if you were to suddenly create the entire summer long a 30 to 50 degree sinkhole that sucked heat in from all around you and everybody else had a cool breeze going on because you were turning all that heat into electricity,
yeah.
Would they be angry about that?
They'd probably like it.
Exactly.
What if I create an ion wind? Have you ever noticed that when you're around a negative ion generator, you can actually feel the wind moving around? It's pretty cool. Literally.
Well, they say that it's impossible to get more energy out than the effort put in. But the gospel according to the redneck is it takes 3 minutes to make a child, but you've at least 15 years till they get to 18 when they're tall enough and strong enough to open the fridge and get your beer for you.
Ah. All right, well, look, the wind's blowing. I ain't going to be able to stop the wind.
We all know which direction the wind's blowing here.
When the wind comes through the south side of my window and goes through there and blows my curtain and blows my papers off in the floor and goes on around the door and then out the other side of the window, I did nothing. Except for go over and pick my papers up because I didn't want the wind blowing in. Then I go shut the window, so I shut off the flow. But I didn't stop it. It just goes around my house. So the same thing with radio waves. All right, if you're in between a radio tower and there's something in between you and that tower, then you're not going to get a very good signal. Does that mean the signal's not around anymore? No, it went off in a different direction. All right, and all those signals bouncing into each other out there are sending out even more waves. So there's a lot of trash waves out there that are created by the big waves.
Now you're talking about antenna technology because it tuned your radiant energy collector so that they're collecting only frequencies no one cares about.
Yeah.
And you don't cause a problem.
That's what I've been saying.
You can build an antenna that's transparent to one frequency and absorbs another.
Look, my grandfather said one man's junk is another man's treasure. The guy down the street listening to the ball game don't want to hear all that static, but hey, if you don't want that static, you mind if I have it? I'm going to charge some capacitors with it. What do you think?
Sounds like a business deal. If you're not careful, they'll start charging people to remove the static from their area.
All right, now you cross the line. I'm gonna tell you what, if the government ever comes out there and puts a tax on static electricity,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your electric company will come by and suck up all that static, so there'll be nothing for you to power your stuff off of, and they'll charge everybody to do it other than you.
Well,
they'll probably charge you too. They'll be like, well, we're we're removing the the static so that you can go ahead and have a clear radio signal.
That cough must be catching.
And I'm not going to tell you we're making money off it, by the way, because we're going to turn around and send it back to you.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you what. The day that happens and I can't pick up trash energy out of the air and they start to try to charge me for it. You ever seen them old Western-style fist fights that you see in the movies? Frontier style? Have you? Hello?
I was just thinking more along the lines that what they'll actually do is they'll come up with a United Nations mandate that if
you are not purchasing your static electricity from a public utility, then your home will be unfit for habitation.
But then at that point,
you know, come take your kids.
At that point, have you ever seen one of the old frontiers? Hey, have you ever seen one of the old frontier-style fist fights in one of the westerns, where they like put your dukes up and they go around in circles and they're doing this hand motion and getting ready to bop each other? That's what you're going to see, crazy old Shaziz down there with power company. We're going to be throwing some nucks, man. Because if I can't pick up the trash and they're trying to charge me for the trash, you think I'm riled up now?
Are you talking about the 1960s classic with Terrence Hill?
Yeah.
My name is Nobody, where he stands at a bar and slaps somebody. Instead of drawing his gun, he just keeps slapping him around the face.
Yeah.
It'd be
an old-fashioned style fist fight going on. All right?
A bit like the WWE.
Yeah.
300-pound men punch each other in the face and not a tooth is loosened.
I was going to say, the only reason they would show up for the fist fight with fists is if they're selling tickets to everybody else to watch you fight them. If they ain't making money off it, they're going to come over tooled. There's a reason why that terminology or that phrase exists, nuke it from orbit.
All right, well, I'll either go over the fence, under the fence, or cut through the door as soon as somebody, and I'll find a guy in charge, and him and I's going to town. All right.
What, you gonna buy a nice dress or something?
No, we're gonna throw some nuts, man. We're gonna box, man. That's what I'm saying.
The only time these people ever got
here, you said we're gonna throw some nuts,
knuckles, brass knuckles, if necessary.
She's it. The only time these people ever get involved is A, they sponsor both fighters. And B, they know who's going to win so they can put the bets on to the right person.
Well, I'll go in there with a blackjack and I'll say, look, I came here to deliver free energy and whop him on the ear with that and say, there you go, it didn't cost you nothing.
It's called the Rodney King School of Commerce.
No, I will say that free energy thing ain't going to work because they're trying to charge people for putting free energy they're creating with their windmills and solar cells back into the grid.
That's what I'm saying. Why do you even ask?
They're not paying you for it. They're charging you for it, saying we have to store it. It's costing us money. You're damaging our system.
Why do you even ask?
So give us money for holding on to it and selling it to somebody else.
You know how much waste energy is coming off the power lines out here? I can stand 30 feet away from the power line with a little wireless AC tester, and I can pick up that doggone energy from that. That's a huge field.
Does that follow your hair?
You think there's a reason why they got a 15-foot easement near the power lines?
Wow, nobody got that, huh?
Huh. What? What'd I miss?
I said, is that what you call your hair? Your AC detector?
Yeah, that's why I can pick up that static discharge beforehand. That, you know, like whenever your lightning's getting ready to strike and the hair stands up on the back of your neck, it's kind of like a little indicator light that will tell you something's fixing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with my hair. If I'm getting ready to get zapped, it'll let me know. My hair start moving around. I'm like, oh, I better back up a hair. Ah! Pardon the pun.
What is it? Is it the Einstein scale?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Tesla had kind of flat hair, but Einstein was wild as a bush. So is it like a, you know when you're getting
Wait. That's proof that Einstein was right when he said Tesla was smarter than him because he was better at grounding himself, so he didn't end up with a big poof of hair.
Yeah, well, he was right. But also, what Tesla was trying to prove, Einstein proved with his hair because his hair's still standing up. My hair's still standing up, so there's free energy right there. Man.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get you a tin foil hat, mate, and we'll run the world off of your bonnet.
There you go. I can see it now. Be like that scene from Back to the Future when he comes through there and he's got that thing on top of his head.
Oh, God. I just saw this commercial somebody made that was basically saying, come and get your flux capacitor, 1995, man.
Right on.
It's an infomercial.
I want one. So anyway, like I said, man, We can argue all the specifics all day long, but the fact is that we're floating in a sea of energy. There is hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, and a few other gizmos, gases, or whatever out there in the air. There's wind blowing, there's ground shaking, there's water flowing, there's sunlight, there's photons, there's all kinds of different light spectrums. See, we haven't even got into the light spectrum portion of it. You know, all the different visible and non-visible light spectrums. Did you know there was dark light? Did you know?
You can't see much of it.
Yeah, you can't. But it's still there, because if heat is light and light is heat, vice versa, anywhere where there's a warm or temperature difference, there is light. Can't see it.
Yep.
But it's there.
The human optical equipment is kind of primitive compared to a lot of nature.
So what's...
I mean, a lot of other creatures on the planet have a much wider spectrum of vision than ourselves.
Yeah, such as animals that can see in the dark naturally. All right? So that there has to be some sort of energy transfer going on in that animal's eyes to be able to see it, which is translated into energy that the brain's understanding, they can see, and basically see or visualize a picture or whatever. So, with that said, what's to stop you from building a solar panel that'll work at night? Yeah? No?
I already told you what the answer was. Stop trying to collect all these other weaker linked energies that keep bouncing back and forth to being available and not being available, and go after the one that's always there.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of trash energy out there that could be tapped into. There's a lot of wind that could be tapped into.
That's the problem, though, is the trash energy is not consistent. That it all ties to that other energy.
Yeah,
source.
But see, you're only thinking...
It's always there.
You're only thinking in the lines of one specific frequency. I'm talking about multiple frequencies like that.
What does it matter if you're only working with one frequency of energy if you never run out? No matter how much you absorb, there's more to be taken.
Every one of them's a penny in the bucket. And if I'm putting pennies in that bucket over there, and I'm putting pennies in that bucket over there, and putting pennies in that bucket over there, and I always have something to drain off of, so I'll never run out of energy. So if I only got one 45-watt solar panel, I know that I can only run so much with one 45-watt solar panel. So I put two of them out there. I can run a little bit more now. I put three of them out there. I can run a little bit more now. But what if the sun ain't out? Now I'm in trouble. I ain't got no more power. So I throw up a wind turbine. Now I got when the wind's blowing. I've got earth batteries going on. I got chemical batteries going on. I got everything under the sun, from water rushing down the gutter, water rushing down the creek, waves coming in and out off the lake or the seashore or the pond. I'm using all potential energies, that is motion that's going on naturally, and I'm not interfering with nor polluting anything in the environment.
You know, Shaziz, I come across an opinion the other day, and I'm not sure how correct it is, but it seemed to make sense, that the only thing that we make that the planet doesn't naturally make in some form is plastic.
That's not true. That is totally not true, because every plastic that we have came from nature.
But yeah,
the trick is we can create it in greater abundance and more concentration from oil than nature's making it in the trees and the leaves and whatever else it happens to be making it from.
But I think what he's saying...
Styrene plastic, okay. Styrene plastic was first synthesized from a compound that's in sweet gum tree sap. And the synthesis process meant they broke off the parts they didn't want and kept what they wanted. So it did make the styrene, it just made it with something else attached to it.
Fair enough, but nature does not make its own form of plastic.
No, it does. Casein is a form of plastic. Add a little bit of vinegar to it to make a slight modification to it by stripping something off of it that you don't want, and suddenly you have a rock-hard substance and not a fluid compound that can be dissolved in water.
So you can never...
when you say that, it's like saying a badge of honor. We're doing something nature can't do. No, nature is doing everything we've been doing. We have absolutely nothing to crow about. All we've been doing is watching what it does.
It wasn't a badge of honor. It was actually a badge of shame, because the point they were trying to make was nature doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, pretty much everything else will break back down again, but there's forms of plastic that last for thousands of years.
They all break down in the right, in the presence of the right material, the right energy. The radiation that we're putting out, there are microbes that feed on radiation just like that from deep in the ocean where the volcanic ring is at.
So
we really can't do anything. We really can't do anything to even affect this planet.
So what you just told me? What you just told me is energy's free, man. Yeah, that's all you told me. Because everything that's going on out there, even microbes eating radiation, would be the same thing. Everything, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So there's something going on everywhere on the micro scale, on the mega scale, whatever. All I'm saying, with all due respect to all the high-tech terminology guys and gals out there in this world, is all I'm saying is if the wind's blowing, why not use it?
He's got a one-track mind.
The energy
tried to derail him there, Steve, but it didn't work.
Didn't work, did it?
Well, it's not so much that. The energy is free, but the materials you need to harness it.
Yeah, but if we got an energy crisis going on in the world, and we've got wars over oils and wars over resources and all that kind of stuff, the Earth is three-quarters covered in water. They're talking about water wars, all right? Water wars in the market, whatever. All right, well, if we got all this problems going on, and you got some crazy old mad science whacked out hair nut job talking about throwing nucks on somebody who tries to admit charging for static energy, then he's saying that why not just tap into what we already got and use it and solve the whole bogus global warming / bogus energy crisis that we've got. We've got every single thing that we need to literally work in harmony with nature, but instead of doing that, everybody wants to sell it, they want to tax it, or fight over it.
Shazoo, the biggest energy crisis we've got on this planet is the amount that's spent on making sure that we don't have it.
That's right, that's it. And once the doggone device is made, if you're trying to save the environment and there's a way to save the environment, why not save the environment? The first initial cost might be aggravating, but if everybody throws a penny in the bucket, then it ain't so hard on the one guy if we're all doing it for the good of humanity. So all the tax money we spend into the government, instead of building nuclear power plants where you're going to boil steam to the potential that maybe something going wrong. And you don't have to do it like that. You could build a device that would work in harmony with nature. If the windmill is going to chop the bird up, put a screen over the windmill, for Pete's sake.
Shazis, do you think it was a waste of energy to build six of the world's largest nuclear reactors on the coast of Japan next to a known tsunami area and a tectonically active zone?
Well, let me see here. If I would have been the guy standing there and saying this is where we're going to build or not build, I would have first calculated in, wait, there's a fracture in the ground. That's called a fault. We may not want to put it there. Look, we're really kind of too close to the ocean, and a tsunami could actually move up in there.
You would have got stopped at that point and said, look, if we build this so it lasts forever, we'll never get paid to build another one. Build it here.
I'm talking about if I'm the man in charge. If I'm the one who has the paycheck, if I'm the one who has the money and I say where we're going to build it, first off I'd say, well, we're not going to build a nuclear reactor because it's retarded to boil water. Here it is, the year 2015, and we're boiling water using some highly refined radioactive material that is going to get hot in the moment we put it in the water. And this boiler is rated at 650 PSI. That boiler is rated at 1,200 PSI. if our cooling system fails for any reason, it's going to create enough heat to damage or overpressurize and explode, and now we got the potential of radioactive water leaking out into the environment. So let us not go this route. If we're going to do this, let's figure out a different way. Let's use some other process like electrolysis to create a little bit of hydrogen on demand and use that to heat the water up, or use some induction heating, whatever. Anything besides what we're doing right here, because this is dangerous and putting it on that crack is stupid. So if I were the guy in charge,
I'm sure if they didn't think of it at the time, they're probably patting each other on the back over the luck that they had by poisoning all that food and whatnot, so that they can drive the prices on what they already have up even higher.
Yeah, but here's the problem,
just like
man.
To do with the drinking water and everything else, the blue gold, right?
If you throw chemicals like Corexit into the ocean that says it breaks down oil, and you got fish in there that have what in them? Oil. All right, well, it's not only going to break down the crude oil, it's going to break down the fish. And now you got a problem. So the food chain starts getting messed up. Now you've got certain fish that used to eat this other fish that are kind of hungry. And then you got bigger fishes that usually eat those fish that ate the other fish, and they're getting kind of hungry because all the fishes are dropping off like flies. Eventually,
so at some point, we're going to be dealing with fishmen crawling up out of the ocean because they can't get their food elsewhere, and they're going to come after us.
Yeah, you got shark attacks on the rise now. Why are the sharks attacking people? Well, maybe because a lot of the doggone food source that they used to be accustomed to eating is gone. Now they're going to look for anything that moves, including a license plate. So, you know.
Shaziz, Corexit, it's a bit like statins that they give people when they have high blood pressure and all sorts of other weird and wonderful stuff. I mean, they wanted to give me statins because I had a high cholesterol level. Sorry, not blood pressure, cholesterol. And I said, but don't statins break down all cholesterol in your body? And the doctor said, yes. I said, what is my brain made of? Cholesterol.
Break down your
and
brain.
And you want to give me something fat. That breaks it down. Yes, fat. You want to give me something that removes cholesterol from my system. So effectively what you're doing is giving me something that can potentially cause a stroke, when there isn't actually a great deal of evidence to prove that high cholesterol levels are linked to a lot of these illnesses, but it's a damn good way of selling drugs.
All right, we couldn't use what Raymond Rife was talking about, the Rife machine. We couldn't use his technology because that was like quackery doctory. However, what
Shaziz,
we can use...
Shaziz.
Hold on, what
Shaziz.
We can use...
No, Shaziz.
Yeah?
Shaziz, I have to say categorically that is rubbish.
What?
There is a guy in my city that offers therapy using the exact same machine.
Well, see, there you go. You got a brilliant individual in your neighborhood. What I was trying to say, though, was that in our modern science over here and our doctors over here are using radiation to kill cancer cells, and not only killing the cancer cells, but taking out some good cells and busting down the immune system at the same time. So what's quackery? Quackery, the Rife machine that may or may not work, or the radiation that is definitely destroying your immune system?
Well, did you read the recent report that's come out about chemotherapy in particular? The chemotherapy drugs may kill cancerous cells, but they cause healthy cells to excrete protein that actually feed the surviving cancerous cells, and they come back 10 times worse.
Well, hey, that's job security for the doctor, man. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody shooting each other. You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. So why would we want to tell people that something like the Rife machine could potentially work?
I'm not saying the Rife machine does work or it doesn't work, but the fact that it's that people are allowed to use it under government license.
All right, but is it any
parts of the world.
Even if it doesn't work, is it any worse than chemotherapy?
Well, put it this way: somebody said to me that a woman was selfish for not doing chemotherapy and trying alternative remedies when she got serious cancer. and she could have spent the next 5 years with her children. And I said, as a zombie, a bald-headed person with no teeth that's in agonizing pain for half a decade.
Well,
and that's going to make their kids feel good.
That's prime example of why it is that I keep saying what it is I'm saying. It's ludicrous. It's mad science. It's what it is. That's it. You know, people can't figure out that if something, you know, you stick your finger in the fire and it burns, it's a good idea not to repeat that process, all right? Because it hurt, all right? Well, if you're messing up somebody's immune system while you're trying to get them healthy, that's counterproductive to the whole getting them healthy, to do no harm. Isn't that what their deal says?
Sure, there's a lot of doctors now are not swearing the Hippocratic Oath because they claim that they can't treat people if they do.
Oh, man. That's it. You're going to get some Botox to make your face look better, see?
What you have to understand about the medical industry is it's exceptionally highly regulated because they do work with some pretty toxic and dangerous chemicals.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's regulated is probably a good idea, but it's got to the point now where a registered doctor can only use approved medicine.
Well, for all the now, druggies out there who want to get high, go to the doctor.
Yeah. But my point being, Shiz, is if something comes onto the market that could kill cancer, say they built, if they developed a pill that could kill cancer, you take it once and you're killed in overnight. I mean, it's this la-la land, but just say for instance, that would still need to be proved by the medical associations of each region, country, wherever. And if it's not, then no doctor on the planet who is part of that system will be allowed to prescribe it.
Well,
and which drug company is going to not lobby against an instant cure when it's going to tear apart a billion-dollar industry?
Same thing in the oil industry, same thing in the coal industry, same thing in electricity. It's all the same thing. You can't sell it if they ain't not, if somebody don't need it out there, and if somebody needs it, and somebody's got one that's going to run your pocket dry, and you're the big oil millionaire, you're going to do whatever you can to make him look stupid, just like Edison tried to make Tesla look stupid. You know? It's just...
Well, I'll tell you what, Shiz, if I'm a genius, I'm an idiot savant.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, man, until people get around to figure out a way to get around other people's greed by instead of asking somebody for something or whatever, get up and get it yourself or do it yourself and don't ask for permission from the government to build your deal, you know, hey, if you fail and you make the wrong machine and it kills you, was it any difference than what they're doing to you already? I'm just, okay, you speed it up a little bit. Ain't no difference, so, you know.
Well, I put a small fence around my garden when I lived in Ireland. And one of the local council guys came around and he said, did you put that fence up? I said, yeah, it's a nice job, isn't it? It took me quite a few hours to put that up. And he said, did you ask anybody for permission? And I said, do I look like a 12-year-old? And you said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you're 12, you ask somebody permission to do something. But when you're a grown man, when you're a grown man, you don't need to ask people permission to do things on your own property.
Well, there you go. See, the people out there trying to regulate your life, regulate your electricity, regulate your water, regulate your food, hey, they're all playing the world like a banjo. And we're going to get all the environmentalists riled up by telling them about global warming, and they'll keep everybody busy arguing over whether there is or isn't, whether the science is or ain't right. And we'll make a lot of money by scaring the crud out of people. We'll throw a few doomsday scenarios up in there. We'll sell a lot of camp stoves and hunting and gear and ammunition, and we'll keep them all riled up in the meantime. We'll keep this charade going, and we'll make a lot of money while everybody else is sitting around arguing over what we just told them. Does that sound familiar?
It sure is. Just because they got a good dental plan, it doesn't mean to say they ain't got a banjo in the back.
Yeah, they I can think of some good uses for banjos in the corporate world.
Well, do you know what the euphemistic term for the banjo is in England?
What's that?
A cane. Before they ended corporal punishment in English schools, they'd actually call it like a pointing cane. It was kind of about 2 inches thick at one end and tapered down to about half an inch at the tip. And they used to use it to point at blackboards and charts. But if you got a bit cheeky, you'd be walking to the bunch front of the class and give them six lashes of the banjo.
Man. Well, I guess you know your place and shut your face and you won't get slapped around, you won't get taxed too much. The squeakiest wheel gets the grease, so you be the quiet wheel. You be the one with the graphite bearings, and you get your work done, and you build your solar panels and your free energies under the table. Don't even ask for permission. Don't ask, don't tell, that kind of deal, man.
I got 6 lashes of the banjo when I was 12. I took 2, then grabbed it off him and snapped it over my knee. And the guy looked like he was going to cry.
Oh,
it's kind of insane. You don't beat children. You know, if you can't reason with them, then you should not be in education.
Well, society's talking about not beating children while other portions of society's bombing children and other children out there in the world are starving to death. Where's our priorities? Where's the common sense of this world when we have access to every single thing we need to ensure that everybody lives comfortably, everybody's fed, everybody's housed? And we got a few minor knuckleheads. I mean, the minority, the smallest there are 8 billion people and rising on this planet. And all they can talk about is, we got to get rid of some people. All right? And they ain't trying to talk about any kind of real solutions. People are out there protesting Save the Trees with a paper sign and a wooden stick. That's counterproductive. Dad, burn it. Let me get all riled up. All I'm saying is, where'd the common sense go?
Somebody said to me, do you think you're an angel? Once. And I said, yeah, Lucifer. There's a devil in me.
Well,
but there's 2 sides to everybody, and people make mistakes and they follow the wrong path sometimes. But you have to go pretty far before you can find redemption. And there's a lot of people out there that may think that they've gone a little bit too far and they've followed a certain path and they've done this and they've done that and nothing can ever change from now on. But that's not true. You know, if you're doing something, if you're working in an industry where you're deliberately and intentionally hurting people, you can change that.
Yeah. And the only way they're going to change that is if you stop putting pennies in their pocket. Start taking the pennies and putting them in your own pocket or putting them in somebody else's pocket.
There's a very small minority. I mean, when I lived in Ireland, they were telling me about everybody's overspent and now we have to tighten our belts. And I said, but 90% of the wealth in this country is owned by 15% of the population. So, why don't you go and ask them for it?
Yeah, but see, here's the key, man. They're telling you to tighten your belt. They ain't tightening their belt because their beer belly or their big old pork chop fed belly is like too big and the belt don't fit anymore. So, they got suspenders. Alright? But you better tighten these up.
There isn't a herd on the planet big enough to make a belt for these Godzillas. You know what? I mean, from my catering perspective, Nouvelle Cuisine was very up and coming in the 1980s. And do you know why? Nouvelle Cuisine is really fancy food with minuscule portions. But if you're a company director or a senior executive, you might have to go out to lunch 3 times a day. And to be perfectly honest, you're not going to eat a 36-ounce steak 3 times a day and survive beyond the age of 40. So Nouvelle Cuisine came in so they could be really important by paying a lot of money for an incredibly small amount of food, which, by the way, was actually really tasty. There just wasn't very much of it because they found that it was affecting their health and they were smart enough to cut back. And the catering industry responded by creating a niche market for the upper elite echelons by producing high quality food in minuscule portions.
Well, there you go, man. They figured out a way to even keep the elite happy, you know. All I'm saying, look, we need to get Raymond in here too, because he popped in here at some point. I wonder if he's still in the background with his industrial strength air conditioner. But we're getting down to the wire on this show. But either way, it's as simple as this, man. The whole system out there is just so upside down, twisted sideways. The ones out there speaking common sense and trying to get people to realize you've been had. You know, we don't need oil. We don't need nuclear fuel. We don't need gasoline, for that matter. We don't need it. I mean, it's there, but we don't need it. There's enough energy around, energy potential and everything. The storage capabilities, the technology that we have these days as far as supercapacitors and battery technology is mind-boggling. But we're still boiling water.
The only thing we need a microwave oven for is to rip the transformers out and make something useful with.
Yeah. There you go.
I read an article the other day that said that the molecular vibration caused by a microwave does not destroy neutrons. Unfortunately, the London College of Biology has something different to say about that.
Yeah, so what with all this research out there, see, there you go. We need two sets of libraries. We're going to have the standard library that everybody's accustomed to and going and getting the books. We need some brilliant individuals to go out and find all these articles that the mainstream wanted to scoff at and put them in there for observation and study. So there you have a library that you can trust. You know, you got only people with brilliant brilliant minds have put this information out there for individuals to look. This is what this guy was working on. This is the results that he got. And so we build our own personal library of information out there. And I kind of think that's what we're doing here on the Mad Science and stuff like that, trying to point things out, repurposing things. Like you said, taking the microwave apart and just using what you want out of it and throwing the rest away. Or recycling it. Hey, there's a concept. Paper or plastic? That gives me a headache, man. Well, in my mind, it's simple. So, where do we go to from there? Raymond, you around? Nope, ain't got his microphone on. He put a message in and he said he slept in, so he missed the biggest portion of the show.
I slept in a few things. A cow shed, a horse trailer, even a ship once.
I slept in a Volkswagen one time. I'm 6'2", man. Can you imagine how cramped up I was by the time I woke up in the morning?
I had a camper van. That was really cool. I'm 5'8". My wife is 5'3". And the top bunk above the driver's cabin was perfect.
Cool.
it was only 2 foot high, so you wouldn't want to get up quickly in the night.
Well, I'm willing to bet you would have done better in the doggone Volkswagen than I did. But, you know, that's all right. Later on, I had a station wagon that I could fold down the back seat and have more than enough room. So, you know, there's common sense. If you're 6'2", don't sleep in a Volkswagen, idiot.
I had a Volkswagen Caddy. The back of it was 5'5" and I'm 5'8", so I was always cramped.
Well, I could ride around in a golf cart. I'm so skinny. Not a golf cart, a golf bag. And those ones with the wheels on it.
I mean, the simplest solutions in the world. The people I work with all had fancy cars. They had BMW, Mercedes, Audi, all that sort of stuff. And I had an Audi A4, and it was really nice. But I got sick of it because there were so many problems with it. I took it back to the dealership and said, I want my money back and I'm not an idiot. And I went and bought a light commercial van with two seats in it. and I used to call it my sporty little two-seater. But I'll tell you what, I put a futon in the back of it, and it was the smoking room.
Cool.
And I used to get to work in the morning, and I'd throw my keys into reception, and anybody who wanted to have a cigarette and not get wet in the rain, used to grab the keys, go down to my van, sit on the futon, turn on the radio, listen to some music, smoke the cigarette, and go back to work nice and happy.
There you go.
And somebody said to me, "But you had a really nice Audi A4. I said, "Yeah, but you can't get a two-seater futon in the back of one of them." It's these simple solutions, you know. It for me, it was kind of cool because I could do all my photography. I could stick a camera on the tripod in the back of it and go out and photograph all sorts of weird, wonderful stuff.
All right. Well, somebody Google up Primitive Pete and see what Primitive Pete does. And what you're talking about is the right tool for the right job. If you can get a futon in it, that's the right tool for the right job. Primitive Pete, they uses everything for a wrench, for a hammer, or whatever, for a pry bar. And that's not the way to do things. So Google it up, Primitive Pete, and you'll see what not to do with tools. So, common sense, man.
Some redneck decided it was a good use of Al Gore's written material for tiki torches on his redneck porch.
Yeah, and you could you could use it to prop something up, you know, like that wobbly table. or paper in the outhouse. Because what's written in his book is essentially that. It's paper for the outhouse.
I've a friend of mine there that's just sent me a message saying they're going to write to the Pope and ask for a blessing.
Well, good luck with that one. I think he's running amok too. Society's messed up.
I'm not rich and I'm not famous and I'm over the age of 12, so I'm not sure the Vatican would be interested in me.
All right, well, either way, we're down to the wire down there, and we've talked about a lot of different subjects. If you guys are around tomorrow, I'd appreciate joining me on the Knights of the Roundtable. Maybe we can take up where we left off or just move on into the future. And I should have put that song on for Thomas. The what was the name of that song? Time Keeps On Slipping.
Fly Like an Eagle.
Yeah, there you go. Let me see if I can find that. I'm going to throw that in there.
Tired of living in the present?
I need your help to get to the year 1985.
Then you need Doc Brown's flux capacitor.
This is what makes time travel possible. A friend on Earth. The fiat tells you where you're going, this one tells you where you are, this one tells you where you were. You input your destination time on this keypad.
I've always dreamed of seeing the future, looking beyond my ears. Seeing the progress of mankind.
Order Doc Brown's flux capacitor today. Just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
Somebody better buy me one of those. Somebody better buy me one of those. My birthday is coming up sometime this year. Somebody better buy me one of those, because I need a Doc Brown's flux capacitor, man. I'll take two of them. I gotta put one in the DeLorean and the other one in my Dodge Stratus. Well, yeah, there's three. I'm going to need three. I'm going to put one in the Stratus, one on the Electron, and one in the DeLorean.
Yeah, but Shazus, will the Electron make 88 miles an hour?
Man, if I get down the right hill, I'll make 88 miles an hour.
Oh, I would say, just don't set it for too far in the future. You might end up with this.
What is that look for?
The dent type.
Yep. And we also need a road map to the future, because I'd hate to hit a tree on the Electron in the future. You know, trees that ain't here might be there then. And it might be like a 100-year-old tree and pretty thick and hurt. What do you think? All right, guys.
All I know is whenever I tell somebody something is serious and they ask how serious, and I say 88 miles per hour serious, they know it's really serious.
Yeah, that's serious, man. And if your airbag works, make sure you set back in the seat, not right up on the dash. All right.
Well,
I'm just saying
that conversation Because it's the conversation we had the other day. They were talking about voltages and currencies and potential that you could achieve. And I think you said about 1,000,000 volts. But we really know that the holy grail of mad science is 1.21 gigawatts.
That's right.
Gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts. Yeah, gigawatts, that's it. Not gigawatts, gigawatts. You got to be correct on that. Because science is science, man.
Jiggly watts?
Yeah, if you use the wrong terminology, a jiggly watt isn't as powerful as a gigawatt.
Honestly, be careful you don't end up with a giggity watt.
Yeah, if you get a giggity watt, that's going to be kind of like the static that drives you nuts while you're trying to watch TV. You know? Get you that Tourette syndrome going on where your eye keeps twitching on you while you're trying to watch your favorite Dancing with the Stars. I'm just saying.
Gigawatts is a, what is it? It's a Chevron torture chamber, isn't it?
Maybe. Anyway, we're down to it, so I'm going to play us up out of here with Steve Miller for Thomas over there. And sorry, Raymond, you got in here last, and we're getting ready to burn up out of here. Hope you join us on tonight's The Roundtable, which for those of you out there in Radio Land is 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time over at ShazizRadio.com, or you can jump over to Wake Radio or People to People Radio or a bunch of other different networks, and all the links are on the website, so you can go there and pick whoever you want to hang out with. If you don't want to hang out with us, go hang out with them. That's cool. But either way, you've been listening to the Mad Science Channel, as usual. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatt!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.